I want to, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right up front, I cannot move like Robert Bottom. If I moved like he did, y'all would have to call the, EMS or whatever you call that thing and take me to the hospital. Amen, because my back would be all, how you do that? I've never seen anything quite like that. Amen. But if you don't mind standing, let's stand and we're going to find our reading today in the book of Genesis. Chapter number 12. I want to read the first four verses. And I know what some people will think. You think immediately, what does this have to do with missions? And has a lot more than what you might think as we look into the Word of God tonight. The Bible said now, verse 1 of chapter 12, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, or to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them, him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for what we've heard thus far. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence. We're thankful, Lord, for your word. And we're thankful most of all for our blessed Redeemer, died at Calvary's cross, Lord, and shed your last blood that, Lord, we might be forgiven. God, that you saved us by your grace. You put us in a family. Lord, and Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for the church. Thank you for Glory Baptist Church and this pastor and these people. And I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, you might be pleased with what's said and, Lord, what already has been said. And God, that every heart might be stirred and changed for the glory of God. And we'll be careful to praise you and love you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, I'm reading these scriptures and certainly have been here many, many times in my time as a child of God and both before God called me to preach and certainly many times since then studying the Word of God. The life of Abraham is an interesting life. It's certainly worthy of our attention and our study. But I draw your attention, of course we know a little bit about Abraham. We know Abraham was the father of the Hebrew race. Just as Moses was the beginning of the Hebrew nation when they came out of Egypt. But the Hebrew race, we find, began with this man called Abraham, and it began for a reason. God had a reason. God had a purpose in calling out Abraham from this dark land of paganism, Ur of Chaldees. And basically and primarily was to give us, through Abraham's seed, the Messiah. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. We also know through the seed of Abraham, we are blessed with the Word of God tonight. And so we have much to be thankful for when we think about Father Abraham. But I want to draw your attention tonight to this thought. If you'll notice in that verse number 2, he said, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's interesting, isn't it? Everyone I talk to today, and everyone you see, and just about the majority of folks today, they're very much interested. I'm talking about those in the house of God, of course, and certainly some lost people probably use this term, don't even know what they're talking about, but they would say this. As a matter of fact, in prison, it's a very popular saying. I've been there a number of times preaching in a prison, and almost every prisoner that you'll shake hands with will say, I'll say, how you doing, sir? And they'll say, I'm blessed. I don't know if that's just a saying or what. I don't know if Brother Robert experiences that in the jailhouse, but I certainly experienced it down at the prison house. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Well, if you'd ask the Christians tonight, you'd say tonight, if I'd ask you, do you want to be blessed of God? Probably everybody raised their hand and said, amen, preacher. I want to be blessed. And we are blessed people, are we not? But here's the question that I want to hone in on tonight, and I pray God would speak to our hearts about. Thank God that we live with the blessings of God. The word blessing meaning to cause to prosper spiritually or to make happy. But we see it go a step further in this text. He said, not only thou shalt be a blessing, but not only will he make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing, but he also mentions about us being a blessing to others. Are we a blessing to others? And thou shalt be a blessing, is what he said in that verse number 2. Again, may I say to you quickly, we are blessed people. We're blessed because of salvation. We're blessed because of the new life God has given us. Amen. We're blessed because we're in the family of God. I count myself blessed because of the Christian friends and brothers I have in the Lord. We're blessed, as Brother Robert brought out tonight, we're blessed because of God's provision. I have to tell you that God has never, ever, ever failed me. He's always faithful and has always provided for me and my family. We're blessed tonight with the peace of God that's in our hearts, the joy of the Lord, the promises of God, and we're also blessed tonight to be able to be His servants. Isn't that a blessing? There's no question about it. We're blessed. But the question tonight that I want to pose tonight in this message is simply this. Thank God for that we receive the blessings of God. But are we also the dispensers of blessings? Are we a blessing to anybody else? Amen. That's a big question. I notice that there's some qualifications. There's some things we have to do to be a blessing. We notice in our text, he talked about it. In that verse number 1, he said, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. What does all that mean to you and I tonight? What does that mean to you and I if we're going to be a blessing? If we're going to be blessed and in turn be a blessing, certainly we understand it starts with salvation. I know the Bible does not detail exactly how all that transpired in Abraham's life, but I know this, God saved a sinner by one way and one means only, and it's always been through the blood, whether looking forward or looking backwards. It's always been by the blood of Christ, always by faith in a risen Savior. So we do know that he was saved, and so that certainly begins with that. But there's a lot of things he had to do. There's a lot of things that was required of him, and we see that in this. And I just simply call this a separate from his country, separate from his culture, his pagan culture, by the way, separate from his old ways of life, to separate from old attitudes. To separate from old influences. I mean, he could have never been a blessing if he had stayed in the Ur of Chaldees. He'd have been no help to nobody. And one of the first things that God's children must learn, if they're going to be a blessing, not only to those, and by the way, I want to be a blessing to not only those that I see every day, but God help us to understand this, that it's, as we saw in our text tonight, it's much bigger than that. Because we'll find in the Scriptures later on that Abraham became a blessing to the Gentiles. Yes. That's missions, by the way. Right. And so, yes, a lot of folks say, I want to be a blessing to my children. I want to be a blessing to my church. And that's good. You should be. But God help us to see a greater horizon than that and understand we must be a blessing to the world. And we can be, and we should be, but it's going to begin certainly with salvation, but it's going to be with a salvation that is biblical in the sense that we understand that we, again, are not of this world. We've been saved from the darkness of this world. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Our lights must shine bright if we're to be a blessing and a help to anybody. I don't care if a man truly is saved, and I believe in people can get saved and get away from God. Certainly I find that in the Word of God, but I promise you one thing, they're a help to nobody. The backslider is help to nobody. Matter of fact, they're a stumbling block. They're a hindrance to the cause of Christ, not a help. No one can serve two masters. Amen? No one. The kind of salvation that the Bible teaches is the kind of salvation we see in the life of Abraham. Is in that is, I call it simply a radical change. Amen? There was a radical change in his life. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The Scriptures tell about how he was a blessing. We talk about that. We see it in the book of Galatians. We find it in the book of Romans, chapter number 4. We see about Abraham's faith. We'll look at that in a little bit. And truly, he was a blessing. Matter of fact, let me say this, that millions and millions, no doubt, have been saved as a result of Abraham's faith that folks have gleaned from and saw and studied in the Word of God and saw that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What an example. What an example. But I'll be honest with you. I've been saved 42 years and I have met people who claim and profess Christ as their living Savior who are anything but a blessing. Matter of fact, I've even seen some that you hate to see them coming. Every pastor had to shake his head and say, amen, Brother Gary. Amen. Because they're anything but a blessing. If anything, they're so negative and they're a source of discouragement and they're not a help, but they are a hindrance in the body of Christ and they are a hindrance to world missions and the missions in general because of a sorry attitude and a sorry spirit. Reminds me of a fellow over there in 3 John by the name of Diotrephus. You remember him? In the church there in 3 John, Diotrephus, the Bible said he loved the preeminence. He spake malicious words. He caused divisions. Everything about him was negative. He was not a blessing. But God said of Abraham, and I like this word, but God said, I will make thee a great nation. I will make thy name great. We have to let God work in our life if we're going to be a blessing to anybody else. Amen. We have to be molded. We have to be dealt with. We have to be submissive. We have to be sometimes things God has to take out of our lives. Some things Colossians talks about, some things we need to put off and some things we need to put on. Romans talks about some things we know we don't need to yield to. It talks about some things we need to yield to. Listen, this thing about being a child of God and being a blessing in the world, it's an ongoing work. And I've been saved 42 years and I feel like I'm in kindergarten. We all tonight got so much more to learn.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know what I believe sometimes, Brother Larry? I believe we as God's children sometimes should talk less and listen more.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Listen more to the voice of God and let God make us a blessing in our church, in our families, to a lost and a dying world. Folks, we got one shot at this thing. One shot. We'll serve Christ here and now. We'll be a blessing to others today or tomorrow. But we don't even have a guarantee of tomorrow, do we? But I know a lot of folks are passing their opportunity up from being a blessing. Said, I'll make thee a great nation. I'll make thy name great. I'll bless you that you might be a blessing. And I've noticed this, folks that are really a blessing to people. Listen, they walk in a victorious Christian life. It's not the downtrodden. It's not the defeated. It's those that are a good spirit. It's those that are in the right relationship with God that really can be a blessing to others. And you know what? We live such a self-centered and such a selfish life that probably some folks might just tune me out and say, well, I don't listen. As long as I'm blessed, I don't care. We should care. Abraham's faith made him a blessing. Amen. Verse 4, we see, and Abraham, God took, listen. Abraham, there where he's reared up and where his culture and all that he ever knew there in that pagan land, God said, Abraham, get out of there. Leave that country. God didn't sit down and explain everything. Matter of fact, there's a scripture in Hebrews that says this, he obeyed and went out not knowing where he went. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. God didn't explain everything to him. God doesn't have to explain everything to you and I. That's where faith comes in. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Those who are going to please God, we're going to do so by a life of faith. Missions is a work of faith. You give to missionaries and you give to some, you never will visit their countries. You never will even visit their works. Amen. You just won't ever go there, but you give out of a heart of faith. I believe God, this is what God would have us to do. God will take that and bless it. Abraham's faith was made him a blessing. He believed God. Galatians 3:6 said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And verse 14 of Galatians chapter 3 says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Romans 4, we mentioned, is all about the faith of Abraham. Verse number 20 in Romans 4 said, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God had promised him, he was able also to perform. Abraham's faith has been a blessing to countless people. Amen. To not only to the Hebrew race, but to the Gentiles as well. And so I relate that to me and you tonight. How about our faith? Amen. How about our faith? You can't get saved without it. For by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Where do we get faith, Brother Gary? Where do we get it? Well, you don't get it down at Walmart. You don't get it in the NIV either, by the way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there's only one Word, and that's the Bible that we preach. You don't get it. You don't get it by seminars and all the things that people put so much emphasis on today. We get it from this old black book called the Bible. Our faith, is it a blessing? Our faith, does it inspire others to look and investigate, if you will, to be like the Bereans and see if those things be so or not? Does your faith, where you work, where you live, in front of your children, your faith at church, your faith wherever you might be, your co-workers, does it lead others to wonder and to be curious and to ask you about your faith? Does your faith reach out to a lost and dying world, that so much so that it would have an impact? I tell you what, those four that carried that one, their faith had an impact on that one, didn't it? His faith, his sensitivity, Abraham's sensitivity, we see that in our text in that verses 1-4, his sensitivity, he just simply obeyed God. Amen. I mean, we find through the Scripture that's one of the characteristics of Abraham. In chapter 12, verse 1-4, we saw that. In chapter 15, Genesis 15 and through 17, in the Abrahamic covenant, the promise of a son in his old age. God told him over in chapter 15 and then 17 again, he told him, he said that he's going to multiply thy seed exceedingly. Well, he's an old man. How's that going to happen? I mean, Abraham, at that point in chapter 17, he doesn't know how God is going to do it. He just knows God is going to do it. That's about faith promise. That's about giving. That's about living for the Lord. Sometimes I don't know exactly how God's going to do everything, but I know what? By His promises and by His Word, He's going to do what He said. Yes, and I know He can take a little church like, because somebody might say, well, how could God use Glory Baptist Church to affect the world? I don't have that answer, but I know what? God can. Yes. And God does. God takes little churches like mine, little churches like Glory Baptist Church and other churches, and the world hears the gospel because a group of people dare to believe God and act according to faith. I don't know how everything's going to work out. I mean, I'm a preacher, to be honest with you. I don't have all the answers. I just go back to the Word of God and say, God, that's what you said. And I'm trusting you, Lord, it'll come to pass. I can see Abraham. I mean, he said, you know, I don't know, I'm old. And God, you said you're going to make my seed as like the stars and like the sand of the sea. Only God can do that. Only God can take what you give by faith in a little church and take and multiply it and feed, if you will, spiritually, the hungry worldwide. God can do it. He believed God, didn't he? He obeyed God. The promise in chapter 17 that Sarah's going to have a child. By the way, a promise that Sarah's going to have a son. I've always said this, somewhere between chapter 17 and chapter 21 of the book of Genesis, Abraham told Sarah, you remember Sarah, when she first heard that, she laughed. How's that going? That's impossible. Look how old. I wish I could move like Brother Rob. Yeah. I'm too old for that. I'll tell you what I believe Abraham told Sarah. I believe Abraham said, Sarah, we're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. Get the nursery ready. Oh, and don't buy any pink, because it's going to be a boy. Yeah. Amen.
There you go.
Amen. Sorry. Isaac. God's going to give us a promised child from which the seed will continue. Amen. Until one day the Messiah will step on this world, will come through the virgin. Abraham's sensitivity. Listen, I wonder sometimes, does our obedience, does our faith in God, we say, we believe God, does our faith stimulate, if you will, lost people to want to even be curious about the God we say we believe? I know one thing, if we carry on and act like the world, it certainly won't. Amen. If we complain like the world, it won't. But all I find Abraham, this was one of the characteristics of Abraham. He just believed God. Genesis 22. You know the story. Abraham offering Isaac and going up that mount, believing God, and said simply this. You know, I know this. He said, we're going to go up that mountain as God has told us to do, to offer up my promised son, Isaac. But we'll be back. Amen. We'll be back. God will provide. And God did. Amen. He did. And God said of Abraham, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. As far as Abraham was concerned, that boy was as good as dead. But he also understood God was going to raise him up. I believe that. Chapter 24, Abraham obeyed God in sending his servant to fetch a bride for Isaac. Amen. You remember that? What a wonderful story that is in the Word of God. You say, well, how did he do all those things? By faith. By faith. And certainly we know the result of that, Rebecca. And there's other places, and circumcision, and tithes, and altars, and rescuing Lot, and other places. I'm sure we could go tonight. Abraham had an obedience about him that he did. His faith caused him to believe God, and he moved accordingly. And his faith became a blessing to others, even to the Gentiles. Somebody said, well, Brother Gary, have you ever known anybody like that? Have you ever known anybody that really has been a blessing to your life? I've known a lot of folks like that. I really have. I was thinking about, as I was preparing this and going over this, I was thinking about a fella I met one time, and he's still alive. His wife died recently. He's an old World War II veteran. He was a missionary in Chile named Brother Edwin Rogers. Did you ever meet him, Brother? Edwin Rogers. But we called him and looked at him almost like the grandpa on the mission field. I've never been around a man that was such a blessing to be around in my ministry. You couldn't be around. Now, we didn't even dot every I and cross our T's exactly light on everything. He come from a different background. He's Baptist, independent Baptist, but he come out of that brighter crowd. But I've never been around a man, Brother Larry, that knew how to pray more than this man. You couldn't even walk out in his yard without him looking at a flower and saying, this reminds me of a scripture. And he'd quote. And it wasn't put on, it was his life. You couldn't get up in the morning, I don't care. You couldn't leave his house without, let's first have prayer. And if you stayed overnight before you go to bed, let's all have prayer. And I'm not talking about just, you know, Lord, help me, you know, lay me down to sleep. I'm talking about getting a hold of heaven. Oh, what a blessing. I mean, listen, God has still some folks that are a blessing in this world. The question is tonight, are you and am I? Because we're either a blessing or we're a stumbling block. We're either helping the furtherance of the gospel and reaching a lost world for Christ, or we're hindering it. We're either helping our local church or we're a hindrance. Amen? We really are. We really are somebody the pastor can count on, or we're someone that he can't count on. One of the two. But faith, our faith, faith should be a blessing. It should be, not only should it work in your life, but work through your life, that it helps others around you. Abraham, the Bible talks about in several places, talks about his friendship with God. Isaiah speaks of it, talks about the seed of Abraham, my friend. Isaiah spoke of it in 41:8. 2 Chronicles 27 talks about Abraham, thy friend forever. James 2:23 says, and he was called the friend of God. I'm saying about the qualities of friends is those that hear his voice, friend of God. Or those that walk with him in agreement. Those that spend time with him, those that talk to him, those that worship him, those that honor him, those that desire to fellowship with him, those that trust him, and yes, those that carry out his will is a friend. Genesis 17:1, the Lord said of Abraham, he said this, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. That word perfect being, be complete, be mature. That's what friends do. Amen. That's what friends do. It doesn't take long to recognize someone who's a friend of God, does it? Because they'll be a help to everybody. If your heart's right with God, I promise you will be a blessing to others. Just as our brother preached this earlier tonight, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and loving thy neighbor as thyself. These two great commandments hinge the law of the prophets. To love the Lord, be a friend of His, is to love what He loves. To care about, as we preached last night, what He cares about. It means to do right to others. It means to reach out to others. It means to be that good Samaritan that might go to that one that's lost without God and give them the gospel and the right hand and help them and meet the needs in their life as far as the gospel is concerned. Abraham was a blessing to the world by bringing forth the promised seed, the Messiah. I want you to look in Galatians with me for a moment. Look at a few verses in Galatians, chapter number 3. Galatians chapter 3. Let's read 3 verses. Verse number 9. Notice verse 9, and we'll jump to some other verses. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at verse 29 as well. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. We're saved tonight. Because through the seed of Abraham came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that gave His life for us at Calvary's cross. My little granddaughter, who's, 16, 18 months? My daughter-in-law filmed it, and sent it to me, singing Father Abraham. They used to learn that. I don't know if they still do in Sunday school. And while they go through the motions, Father Abraham, and they do their legs and all that. And there's this little 16-month-old grandbaby of mine just going, she's moving her hands 90 miles an hour. I don't think she knows what she's saying. But you know what? I thought about that, and I thought about this message. Here's Abraham still being a blessing to the Gentiles. And certainly we know the fulfillment of that because of the Redeemer that came and died at Calvary's cross, so you and I, the Gentiles, might have the door open to salvation. God used Abraham, and through Abraham, That door was swung wide open. Millions upon millions have been saved and are still being saved because of the faith and because Abraham was a friend of God, because Abraham dared to just obey God. I'm wondering tonight. I mean, Paul was a blessing, wasn't he? The Apostle Paul. I mean, tonight, you and I are sitting in this auditorium tonight and talking about missions, and yet we see that Paul going out in Acts 13 and Acts 16 and going out establishing churches and going west, and you and I are the beneficiaries of the blessings of Paul. Paul blesses my life, even today when I read the Word of God. The question for you and I tonight is simply this: are we a blessing? I'm afraid sometime tonight, Brother Larry, I'm afraid sometime today that people are only interested in therefore no more. I want to be a blessing to my family. I want to be a blessing to, you know, my little circle of folk. The Bible said Abraham was a blessing to the whole world. He's a blessing to the Gentiles. His faith went out and touched many, many others for Christ. Thank God our faith tonight can do the same. Amen? It can. And so I'm going to close tonight and just ask you this question. What are you? Really, what are you? Because could anybody walk up to you tonight and grab you by the shirt collar? Or has anybody ever come to you and just grabbed your hand and said, "Well, Larry," and Larry is, "you're a blessing to my life. You're an encouragement to me and a help to me." Amen? Has any lost man that you've ever won to Christ ever come to you and said, "Boy, thank God for you. I've told you many times that folks, my Polack brother-in-law led me to Christ. Many times I tell him, boy, we seem to be apart in distance now, but I call him every once in a while, talk to him and say, man, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. What a blessing. Amen, what a blessing. Here's the thing, church, tonight in closing. You got to be one or the other. You're going to be a blessing to the world. You're going to be a blessing to others around you. Or you're going to be a hurt. A source of hurt and a source of stumbling. And I'm afraid today, because of the self-centeredness of so many today, that in closing, that most folks are, or at least the majority, or maybe a whole great number, I don't know the percentage, are anything but a blessing to those around them. When you go to work tomorrow, some of you work secular jobs, I wonder if that guy working beside you can say, hey, he's a blessing. He's a help. You can be, and you should be. Amen? Be a blessing, folks. We got enough negative down and outers as it is in this world. Put a smile on your face. Amen. A song in your heart. And try to be a blessing to others around you. And share the gospel with them. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for Abraham's example. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we find in the Word of God, Lord, a number of people we could name. Lord, as we read the Scriptures these many years later, these many, Lord,